The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast with Alex Dunn and Gary Capewell. Looking through the best of Saturday's action, and what a Saturday we have in store. Action from Doncaster, Kempton, Chelmsford, Stratford and Uttoxeter domestically. There's a card at Navan and of course it's the Dubai World Cup at Maidan. I should mention of course it's the Lincoln at Doncaster. We've got the Brocklesby in there, the Camage Trophy, the Spring Mile. Kempton, we've got the Magnolia Stakes. We've got a two-year-old maiden as well to look forward to there. Chelmsford is sort of typical Chelmsford fair. Wake up, Capers, wake up. And then Stratford and Uttoxeter provide the jumping action.
Yay!
And some brilliant stuff at over in Dubai, of course. We're going to get to that in just a moment. Firstly, hello, Gary Capewell.
Hello, Alex Dunn.
Are you okay?
I'm not too bad.
Yeah?
Not too bad. Giddy with excitement for the Uttoxeter card on Saturday.
Well, thing is, let's be serious for a minute, because we've had Cheltenham, we've got the National coming up. The jumps just sort of has a week off here, basically, doesn't it?
Yeah.
To all intents and purposes, it's summer jumping.
On non-summer jumping ground.
Yeah, true, yeah. But in terms of the quality, it's
no, it's not your typical Saturday.
It's a flat weekend, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
But it's
good,
something...
Good prize money at Chelmsford.
Yes, true. And to be fair, that's true of most meetings they've had since coming back, if you like, or being reintroduced. It's very different, though, looking at the form all of a sudden for flat racing, isn't it?
When you're used to, I hate this time of year.
Well, you're used to...
It's far too much like hard work for my liking.
You're used to knowing jump horses inside out, what they did last time. You followed them
all season. I suppose it's the same with a flat. Once the form settles down, it's first of all trying to work out the yards that are going to hit the ground running and horses that like... You know, that can run well fresh, I suppose. Mm. And particularly with the three-year-olds, if you can drop onto one or two at decent prices this time of year, which is possible, you've got horses from last year that you think, oh, that'll make a nice horse, not completely developed. When you listen to Ken on the radio, you have something to say, right, not quite the finished article, one for the future, things like that. Mental note. And it goes in the tracker. It's just a question of catching on the right one at the right price. But there are plenty of other connections that are probably thinking exactly the same. Their horse will be a little bit better for another winter on its back.
Typically, you will get yards that hit the ground running, but that's not the same every year, is it?
No. Certainly in Ireland, Tommy Stack usually hits the ground running. Richard Foy did a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. Not so much maybe last year, I don't think, but the signs are there. They're just looking at his horses that are running on the all-weather of late. You know, they are ready to hit the ground running. So
that's the thing with the horses as well. You'll have some having their first run for nearly 200 days, and you'll have some that have been on the go in the all-weather.
On the all-weather, and you've got that difficult sort of... Obviously, summer horses perform better on the all-weather than they do on the turf, and obviously, you know, vice versa.
Yeah.
So you might have something that's had a prep run on the all-weather that ran maybe a little bit disappointing, but back on the turf is a different beast.
Indeed. OK, well, we're going to look at one contest at Doncaster, the Lincoln, and then we're going to look at two over in Dubai, because Mr. Capewell is rather a fan... Of his,
it's been a profitable carnival. Not as profitable as last year, mind.
Okay,
profitable.
Good. We'll get to that in just a second, but we'll start with the Lincoln, a heritage handicap, of course, on the straight mile. 22 runners down to go to post, and it's typically competitive, but I'd say potentially a little bit more classy than in previous years, Gary.
Yeah, funny enough, I said exactly the same to Ross. The days are gone when you could get in the Lincoln off a mark of 80.
Yeah.
You know, you go back and obviously the decent prize money that is on offer, and trainers target this race from a fair way out now, you would imagine. And you're getting the same type of horses winning. The 4 and 5 year olds usually sort of dominate the race now, and the old adage, group horse in a handicap, maybe not quite so much, but if you have got one, I can't remember the name of the Gosden horse that won it a few years ago.
Expresso Star.
No, I'm thinking of the one before that in the Sheveley Park colours. Maybe it wasn't, maybe it was Willie Haggis's.
Penitent.
Penitent.
Yes, that was the year after Expresso Star.
Yeah, Johnny no, Mercer, I still think we're going further back.
Further back, very yeah. wise.
Keep going.
That's it for Stream of Gold.
I think it was about four, I think it might have been 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, that's Penitent.
Right.
Yeah.
I forget how old Penitent is.
Yeah, well, I was just going to go through the recent winners. Of course, last year, Ocean Tempest, who runs again this time at 20-1. Then Levitate the year before, 20-1. Bray Hill, 25-1. Sweet Lightning, 16-1. Then the two fancied horses, Penitent, 3-1.
Was Penitent, yeah.
And Espresso Star, 7-2. Smoky Oaky at 10s. Very Wise at 9s. Blythe Knight for the Quins at 22s. And then you're going back to Stream of Gold, Babadana, Pablo, etc., etc. But generally, no hopers don't win this.
Well, no. But, you don't have no hopers in it anymore, I
suppose. Well, that's possibly true. But it may pay to seek a bit of value. We do have prices for this race on the William Hill website already. At the time of recording, which is 20 past one on Friday, Manjol is your 5-1 market leader, 6-1 for GM Hopkins, 7-1 Zawan, 9-1 Gabriel's Kaka, 14s then for Hillbilly Boy, Mondialiste, which isn't easy to say, Muharib, 16s for Gabriel, and What About Carlo? 20s or bigger the rest, going down to the outsider, which is Emil, Richard Hannon's representative. We wouldn't have many Richard Hannon outsiders in races like this. It's his sole runner as well. But again, the horse hasn't really shown enough form so far to get competitive here, but has been pitched in fairly highly in the races that he did run in last year. So
yeah, back into handicap company.
But that just goes to show you can give most of these a chance. Where should we start here, Capers?
What do we say, Ferret? What's the Haggis runner?
The favourite is... yes, it is, yes.
We'll start there then. Horse who was a winner at Ascot at the King George meeting, a very competitive-looking handicap, then finished second here at the Ledger meeting, again, an equally competitive handicap. That was over 10 furlongs, though. Finished behind GM Hopkins in the Silver Cambridgeshire when last seen. A little bit about the trip, I have to admit. For his sort of ideal trip, but a flat out mile, I suppose.
They'll be going hard enough.
They'll be going quick enough, yeah. So won't be too much of an issue. I don't know what effect the draw's really going to have. I would imagine, just personally for me, I think I'd probably prefer to be more towards the near side.
Well, recent winners, stall three, stall 12, stall 16, stall 1, stall 9.
A lot depends on where they race, because last year they raced in one big group down the centre, so with there only being 22, they may well do the same, hopefully, in the draw, really, become sort of really pretty much immaterial.
Yeah,
then.
Well, if you do follow, you know, like I said, the last two have been stall 3. Stall 3 this time is Fireship, who would definitely have a chance for William Knight, with Kieran Schumacher
on
board.
Yeah, he's got plenty of weight to carry, hasn't he? That would be a bit of an issue, but he's a regular in these type of races, I suppose. With regards to Mondrawl, obviously we know Willie Haggis knows what it takes to win this race, and off his mark, I suppose he's open to a bit more improvement, not having had the too many starts. They'll also beat him in the Silver Cambridgeshire. GM Hopkins won at Nottingham on his first start last year, then had a bit of a break before winning quite easily at Sandown. Then he won the Silver Cambridgeshire after that, and then he was fourth and third respectively at Nottingham, a decent race. So he actually had one of the horses who reopposes him tomorrow, or on Saturday rather, I should say, in front of him, not even the shape of Muharib. But GM Hopkins clearly goes well fresh, and we know John Gosden knows what it takes to win this race. Yeah. We'll touch on Muharib then. I think he must have some sort of a chance. He actually finished behind Marnjall in that competitive handicap at Ascot on King George Day. When we were at over this course and distance, I was there when he won here in June. Then won at Pontefract later on in the campaign, and then finished second in that race at Nottingham behind GM Hopkins, and then he ran in a listed race, I think, after that. So he has to be respected as well. Likewise, Zarwan, who was second in a decent handicap at Newbury on his seasonal return last year. Ditto that when he was behind Chartres in the Silver Bowl. I mean, the quality of this race, Chartres can't even get in this race. That's running the Spring Mile, the Constellation race. Fifth in the Britannia and fourth in a listed race at Newmarket. That was in July. We haven't seen this horse since. Where has he been? I think he's likely to eventually prove a little bit better than his handicap. Mark will eventually end up in Pat and Company. And then we come to the likes of Mondialiste, who is a fascinating runner. We've seen David O'Mara's training credentials seen to good use with numerous horses last year. G-Force perhaps probably one of the better examples. He is making his handicap in UK Derby. He used to be trained by Freddie Head in France. We haven't seen him since he was victorious at Longshaw last April. Might be asking a bit to come, I suppose, here directly with the with that rather long absence. Ocean Tempest, he's £8 higher now than when winning this race last year. Very consistent. He put up a remarkable effort winning at Chester last summer. I think the highest ever rating to win a handicap when he won that day. He's back from a spell in Dubai. He'll be ready to go. Bronze Angel, £6 higher than when winning a competitive race at Ascot when he had a few of these behind. He's a former Cambridgeshire winner as well. If not a dual Cambridgeshire winner from memory, is he? I can't quite remember. He's certainly won one anyway. Mm. He's got a top weight to shoulder, which won't be easy. Belgian Bill comes back from a break. He's been running over in Dubai as well. He'll be ready to go. But the one I'm going to go for, he actually ran in this race last year with the Fahi team in good form, is Gabriel's Kakam. He finished sixth in this corresponding race last year. He then went and won the Spring Cup at Newbury over a mile. I don't think he got the clearest of runs through actually in this race last year. But anyway, he ran in all the decent competitive handicaps after that. He ran in the Hunt Cup, finished down the field in the Cambridgeshire and finished seventh behind Bronze Angel on his final start last campaign. Can go well fresh. Fahi's yard in good form. Jack Garrity, one of the apprentices, I think, very much to keep an eye on this year. Very much value for his £5. Takes a very valuable £5 off. And that takes him to sort of his last winning mark too. So, Gabriel's Kaka with the Fahi team in good form, drawn towards the near side. If they do split into two groups, may well be that it pays to be on either side. So Gabriel's Kaka in the Lincoln with stall 22.
Okay, Gabriel's Kaka the pick then. Watchy Gabriel's, because there is also
a Gabriel.
Gabriel. also similar colours as well, so just be careful. Gabriel's Kaka will have the blue cap on. Okay, we'll move to Maidan, shall we? For the 4:15, it is the Shima Classic. Group 1 on turf, over a mile and a half, 9 runners down to go to post. And 9 fascinating runners as well, Capers. The betting looks like this. At the time of recording, Harpstar is 11-4, 4-1 for Designs on Rome and Flincher, 6s for Dolnia and Main Sequence, and 12s and bigger the rest. Where on earth should we start here?
Let's start with Harpstar, who I backed when he was 6th in the arc and went via the Champs-Élysées. The horse is 5 from 10 in his career. He's been 5th in 2 good races in Japan since running in the arc, including in the Japan Cup.
Surely the crux here, though, is that Ryan Moore gets on her. He is so good on any horse, but
the guy that rode him before is a bit of a clown, and it's the same. I'm using the same angle here, which I used when I backed Gentle Donna in this race last year. The year before, I was obviously there and called her when she was beaten and given an awful, well, maybe not an awful ride, but the guy just, not in comparison to how Joseph O'Brien was riding that day when St Nicholas Abbey won. If you'd have swapped the jockeys, you might well have swapped the result. Now, Moore gets on this horse for the first time. Best jockey in the world. I don't think we need to have that discussion too much. Makes so few mistakes. Stall 9, it won't be an issue either. It's a nice size field. He can have this horse pretty much where he wants. A worthy favourite. This is a good race. Designs on Rome comes over from Hong Kong, a 5-time Group 1 winner over there, including when he just beat Military Attack in the Hong Kong Cup in December. He won the Group 1 Hong Kong Gold Cup on his prep race for this contest back in March. So very much has to be respected. Likewise, Main Sequence and Flincher. Flincher second in the arc, was beaten half a length behind Main Sequence in the Breeders' Cup turf and then won a Group 1 in Hong Kong at their big meeting around the Christmas period. Finished second behind Dornia at Chantilly on the all-weather in the prep race for this, but has to be considered as always thereabouts in these big races. Main Sequence obviously used to be trained by David Lanigan here in the UK. Has won his last 4 races, 4 of them grade 1s, obviously won the Breeders' Cup turf. Second in his prep race for this contest at Gulfstream over 11 furlongs, which probably wouldn't have been far enough last time out. Despite it probably not being far enough for him at Gulfstream last time, it has to be respected. Ditto Dolnia, who was 5th in the arc, looked to be progressing as a three-year-old last year, beat Flintshire by a neck in that prep race. How forward either of them were, I'm not entirely sure, but both have to be respected. Would it completely rule out Sheikh Zayed Road, who's named after the huge big highway that goes, that links Dubai to Abu Dhabi, the big six-lane motorway that's used to have a great deal of fun driving on, but likes the ground, loves the quick surface that he encounters out here, has to be respected. But Harp Star, very much the one to beat, with that huge angle of more getting off, sorry, more getting on, and the clown getting off.
Okay, fair enough. So the filly, Harp Star, the 11-4 favourite and Caper's pick there. I'm going to pitch in with your outsider as well. I think Sheikh Zayed Road for a place could be a bit of value. Okay, the final race we're going to look at is the Dubai World Cup, a Group 1 contest on dirt. 1 mile and 2 furlongs the trip. Nine runners going to post, nearly.
Yeah.
And the betting looks like this. California Chrome is your 11-8 market leader. Then Leah at 4-1. African Story at 7s, along with how are we saying that, Capers?
Epiphania.
Epiphania. There we go. Easy when you know, isn't it?
We'll make it up on the spot.
And then 10s or bigger, the rest. We'll start with the favourite here, American Raider, and looks to have every chance. But 11-8 is pretty short.
Way too short. Obviously, he's a really good horse, the American Horse of the Year last year. Won the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness, obviously fourth in the Belmont. And was third in the Breeders' Cup Classic in a monumental duel. He won the Hollywood Derby after that. He was second in a Grade 2 at Santa Anita in his prep run. Stall 90, I'm sure, he'll be able to wedge across. He's these American horses break so well. You don't want to be forced too wide, obviously, into the turn, but I'm sure Victor Espinosa will be able to get him across. But the price of the years, yeah, I very much respect him. He's a wonderful horse. But he makes absolutely no appeal at his current price.
Okay. What about last year's winner, African Story?
Well, yeah, he became the first winner for quite some time to win a race subsequently when he won round 3 of the LMAC Team Challenge here on Super Saturday. Pretty disappointing in round 2, but they were adamant that that wasn't his true running. He needed the run, and so that's proved. But he's 8 now. It'd be a huge effort for him to win again, I think, personally. For all that I do respect him, I don't think so. I don't think there has never been a horse that has won the Dubai World Cup twice, and I don't see that stat changing. We should mention the Japanese raider, Epiphania, who won the Japanese Ledger a couple of years ago, second in the Japanese Derby before that. He's won a few times out in Japan, most of them Group 1s. Was fifth in a good race there over the Christmas period behind Gentle Lord Donna. He's by an American stye. He might well go on the surface, but all his runs have been on the turf. Considering all the good dirt races they have out in Japan, I find that a little bit puzzling. Again, a very, very classy horse, but currently makes no appeal really at the current odds. Lee is the horse we have to mention, trained by Bill Knott, who of course won the first ever Dubai World Cup. We're celebrating the 20th tomorrow, or on Saturday rather I should say. Depending on when you're listening to this, of course he trained Cigar to win the first one. Joe Rosario knows what it takes to win a World Cup. He won the World Cup when I was there, when Animal Kingdom won the race. Won the Don Handicap, which is a Grade 1 handicap, at Santa Anita in 2014. Only had the one run since, and that was second, when he was second in that corresponding race last time out. Very, very much respected. I know a few people that are out there, they've said he's looked really, really well in his prep. And to be honest, I take him at the current prices of a Californian Chrome. We should mention Side Glance, who's been fourth in this race the last 2 years. They're putting blinkers on him on Saturday. Prince Bishop is very much an enigma. He's won numerous rounds of the LMAC Team Challenge in the past. He was ninth in this race last year. If on a going day, he could easily get into the frame. Long River, I don't think he's good enough. So the two that I go for, and they are decent prices, one of them ran in this race last year, but was disappointing and wasn't very well drawn. The Japanese raider, Hoko Terumai, he's won his last three, all on the dirt. He's likely to go forward from his low draw as well. And that is the key. It may well be that he ends up teeing it up for something else, but the way that the dirt race has been run at Meydan so far this year, it's very much been advantageous to be well to the fore. So whether he can hang on or not is a different matter, but let's put it this way. He is going to get the run of the race because nothing is really going to want to overly take him on, I don't think. Yeah. Don't know a great deal about the rider, I have to say, but he has ridden him in the past, so it's a little bit of an unknown, but at the current price, he is worth taking a small chance on, I think, along with the Doug Watson-trained Candy Boy, who has been out in Dubai for a while, so he's nice and acclimatised. Obviously, some of these horses have shipped in recently, but he's been there a while. Doug Watson has decided not to run him because he does go well fresh. He's been full of beans for a while. Doug Watson has had his best ever season in the UAE. Pat Dobbs is riding well as well. This horse ran in the Reader's Cup Classic, but he covered 47 feet more. Obviously, sorry, he was sixth in the end, I think, wasn't he? He was sixth. But he covered 47 feet more than California Creme. Okay, he was beaten a little bit further than that anyway, but he had a horrible trip, like he did when he ran in the Kentucky Derby. He was drawn 18 that day. He finished 13th. He was fourth wide throughout. You can put a line through some of those runs. This is a proper dirt horse, and I want to go for the proper dirt horses. So the prices, Candy Boy and Hoko Terumai, make appeal, and I will probably dutch those two against, for all that I very much respect, Leah and Californian Chrome and Epiphenia. Some very good horses, obviously, in the race, including African Story too. Yeah. I think those two, Candy Boy and Hoko Terumai, sort of both double figures, make plenty of appeal.
Okay, so two against the field then in the big one.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Capers. Best of luck with your picks on Saturday and enjoy all of the action.
Will do.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.